Good evening, everybody. Great to see you all tonight. Thank you for being here on Wednesday night. Appreciate seeing all of you so very much. I'd like for you to stand with me tonight, if you would. We want to open our service tonight with prayer before we make our announcements. And while you're gathering into your seat, I would like to mention tonight that our very good friends that live in Lake Charles, they watch our live stream every Sunday, every Wednesday. They watch it so much, they've got to know the back of some of y'all's heads. It's a true story. And if you're not here, he'll text Sister Murphy during church, and I don't see that man that looks like this and that. Are they doing okay? So as much as you can be involved in a church via live stream, Larry and Betty are involved. Been lifelong friends of Sister Murph, and when Sister Murph and I married, they took me right in, and they're phenomenal people. Betty fell, I believe, this week, and she's in the very beginning stages of Alzheimer's, and then she fell and broke her pelvis in four places, and they can't operate. And she needs a touch of God as well as Larry and their family. And I want us to pray about that. Now, when I mentioned that, I talked to Lisa. She called me yesterday and then gave me permission to say this. She was facing a very challenging diagnosis, potentially with cancer, and has heard from her doctors and the possibility of that is virtually nil at this point. And I'm so thankful for that. It's a tremendous, tremendous miracle. I don't go into a lot of detail, as you all know. If you want more detail, you can certainly ask her. And but she had a pretty dismal, a potentially very dismal prognosis ahead of her. And our church prayed. She came to a Tuesday morning prayer meeting and left there and went to the doctors, to the hospital to have surgery a few weeks ago, and then got a tremendous, tremendous report, miraculous report that we are so, so thankful for. So we know that God is able. So with that in mind, if we can pray for Betty Cooley in Lake Charles, her husband Larry, they're the most amazing people you'll ever meet. And they love us, they love our church, and they've asked for our church to pray. So if we can take a moment very seriously and passionately, let's pray for this couple tonight. They need the hand of God in their life right now. Jesus, we ask you tonight, coming to you with a heart full of faith, a heart full of confidence, knowing that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. We pray, God, tonight for Larry and Betty. We pray, God, that you would move in their lives. We pray, God, that you would move in her body, that you would heal her, that you would be truly a miracle-working God in this hour of need. They are desperate. They're longing. They're hungry to see a manifestation of your hand. And I pray, God, that you would move on their behalf, that the Spirit of the Lord would work. We ask in Jesus' name that we would see the manifestation of your power in their lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Thank the Lord. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Look at your neighbor and give them a fist bump and tell them I'm glad to see you. Thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me make a couple of announcements. This coming Sunday, we'll be receiving a Move the Mission offering. I know we've done some fundraisers and whatnot, and we've tried not to hit Grace Church too hard with our fundraisers, and some have been done outside of Grace Church, and I'm so thankful for that. But if you could come prepared Sunday to give in a wonderful Move the Mission offering, I know all of our missionaries around the world would appreciate that so much. And then our last fundraiser we will do here for this season, this coming Sunday, we're doing a Move the Mission pulled pork dinner. It'll be sandwiches with chips, but if you've ever had the Grace Church pulled pork sandwich with the barbecue sauce and all of that, there'll be dessert. You can't beat it. And the beauty of it is you can eat it here or you can take it home with you. They're going to have it both ways. And so remember that following the altar service this coming Sunday morning. We're excited about it. I was talking to Sister Landry about it, that what if we run out? I said, well, as long as I can get one or two set aside for me, I really don't care if we... I'm kidding. We will have enough to feed everybody. So remember after church Sunday, it's $10. If you want to add a cold drink, it's an extra dollar. But you won't eat that cheap at Cane's or McDonald's or anywhere else. So run by, get something, take it home with you, or you're welcome to eat it here at the church as well. And everybody say amen. Amen. Great to see everybody here tonight. Thankful to see you. Wonderful service Sunday. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful service Sunday. And looking forward to what God has planned this coming Sunday. And I will be sorry for those of you that will be recruited to the kitchen a little bit early to get everything ready. Because you're going to miss what's going on over here. But the price we pay for Move the Mission, right? It's for a worthy cause, and it's going to be great here this coming Sunday. I know it. Thank the Lord. I want to jump into the Word of God tonight. And I'm continuing. It's been a very long series, probably one of the longer ones I've taught in a while. I've talked to you about prayer, spiritual warfare, what have you. Gentlemen in the media booth, if I could have the back screen with something. Thank you very much. I want to begin tonight. I don't want to do too much review. I've talked to you about spiritual warfare, the demonic. I've talked to you about your prayer life. I want to come full circle. When I first began this series, our very first lesson was I talked about prayer standards. And there's, if you want to hear from God, if you want God to talk to you, if you want to have a healthy relationship with God, there's things in your life that have to be right even when you pray. And if they're not right, it can be challenging to hear from God, to have prayers answered, and so on. I want to come full circle, talk to you about loving the world or not. The demonic, the battle rages sometimes in our head. With the demonic, sometimes our environment we live in can provoke us with having to deal with the demonic. I've been through all of that. So now I'm coming full circle around. I talked to you about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, those temptations. Talked about all of that. I want to kind of come full circle, and we'll probably possibly conclude this series tonight. This whole thing is centered around a healthy prayer life. And then in that times of prayer, you're going to confront the demonic. You're going to confront your own flesh. There's lots of Bible that is in our favor when you want to pray. But there's a lot of due diligence on our part that's necessary. And so when you pray and you go through these battles and you go through times of discouragement and it seems like your prayer never be answered and you've had confrontations with the demonic, we've talked about all of that stuff. Now comes the time sometimes when you just simply have to wait upon God. And this is where our diligence to wait upon God is necessary. I want to start out tonight, I want to begin tonight with a scripture reading, actually several of them, that will tell us what is required in seeking the Lord. And this, again, I'm going full circle, that if you want to have a healthy prayer life, and I'm going to review a little bit of that in just a moment. But I want to go first to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 19. that if you're waiting on God, you're seeking God, this is your attitude, this is your presentation of yourself to God. God said, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord, your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. This is God speaking to Solomon. To bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is built to the name of the Lord. Again, this is something that you do in your approach to God to have prayers answered. When you're praying, there's a proper attitude, a proper spirit. But the goal is, when you pray, is to bring the presence of God into your life. And God is telling Solomon to set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. You get your heart right, you get your soul right, and you bring the presence of God to you. That's step number one. The second scripture setting I want to read tonight is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Can all quote it? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, if you're praying desperately for a need, for a miracle, whatever it may be, you're praying your heart out for that to be answered, for God to minister to you. If your attitude is, I'm going to go ahead and pray about it, but I know nothing's going to happen, then it's really not going to accomplish you a lot to even pray about it at all. There must be faith, and it must be manifested in your prayer. So in our diligence to wait on God, and this is all a part of our relationship with God, required in seeking him is to set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God, to have faith in God. But the second thing that's required is obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience is not an option. I want to make it clear to everybody, and I say this often, and it just don't register with folks. The scripture setting I'm about to read to you is, it doesn't say that you can do what you feel like is necessary. It doesn't say that you can believe the way you want to believe, and you can be your own judge, and you can live however you want, and God is obligated to take care of me. That's not what this says. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 6:17, God said, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded thee. That's a bold, very clearly understood statement. I don't know how anybody can misunderstand that. It's, if you're a small child and your parent looks you in the eye and say, you listen to me. You're going to obey me today. And they follow through on that and you obey them, then that's a very simple exchange, but it's got a lot of power in it. It's got a lot of authority in it. I'm going to come to authority in a few minutes. But then God went on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and this is what I want you to hear. It gives you what to do and why. I want everybody to hear this, and there's far more people than I would to God were here tonight to hear it. God said in Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 13, this will be a little bit lengthy. And it shall come to pass, you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I don't know if y'all have the rest of my scriptures, but I'm going to read through verse 28. I don't know if y'all can. No, don't have either screen. It's okay. I understand. So listen to Pastor. He said that I will, if you obey me, it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I give command unto you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. The first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. This is Jesus saying in the New Testament, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these other things that you need will be added. God will take care of you if you obey him. It's obedience, not faith. It's obedience. And then he said in verse 16, to take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Don't do that. If you do, then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Keep that in mind. If you do good, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, serve other gods, worship them, it's going to be a price to pay. Verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your head, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when you walk in by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be both multiplied, and the days of your children, and the land which your Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Excuse me. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall be your coast. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he said unto you, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, and it's totally dependent on whether you obey me or not. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, go after other gods which you have not known. In our culture today, I want everybody to hear Pastor today. In our culture today, in my opinion, this applies. When you depart from the apostolic truth that you know today and you go and believe something else, it's serving other gods. I want everybody to understand that. You're walking into a trap, and it's hard to come out of it. You can, but it's hard. So this is God's premise, to have a healthy relationship with him. You keep your heart and soul right. You keep a good attitude, a clear focus on pleasing God and obedience and what have you. And if you don't, there's a price to pay if you don't. And I've lived long enough to see a lot of people pay an awful price. You say, well, they're still living and they're still healthy. Maybe. But most of the time, their marriages don't make it. Most of the time, there's a lot of infidelity. Even if their marriage does make it, a lot of times, the kids go completely haywire. You get the point. Let me move on. So when you go through all of this, and God still doesn't answer, you're still not getting your answer from God, what do you do? Hope I'm helping somebody here tonight. What do you do when you've gone through all of this prayer and spiritual warfare and God has still not answered you? Where should we look if God does not answer our prayers. Number one, going full circle back around, look to yourself. Perhaps there are things in your life that hinders your prayers. Unselfish worship, meaning, are there idols in your life? And an idol can be anything. It doesn't have to be something made out of stone or wood. It can be anything. Be your job, your family. It can be anything you put ahead of God. That's something that means more important to you than God, your job, etc. It's an idol. That can hinder your prayers. An unforgiving spirit holding grudges. An unforgiving spirit can hinder your prayer. An unbalanced home, a home with a lot of spirituality and a lot of carnality and a lot of sin, can hinder. Unbelief can hinder. Unconfessed sin can hinder your prayer. Impure motives can hinder your prayer. I taught these things at the very beginning of this Bible study. Now we've come full circle. So where should we look if God does not answer? You look to yourself. Number two, you look to your prayer. What are you praying and how are you praying it? Perhaps the prayer comes from an impure motive, praying with an agenda, or praying with an ulterior motive. God is not fooled by any of that. And all of my life, I've heard people say when they're in a bad place, they're in the hospital dying, they have a family member in the hospital dying, they're going through horrible financial things. God, if you'll straighten all of this out, I'll give my life to you 110%. God, I'll do this and I'll do that. And I have seen God bless and answer those prayers, and then the people don't do what they said they were going to do. It's interesting. But look to yourself. Perhaps there's things in your life that hinders your prayer, and then look at how you're praying. Impure motive, praying with an agenda, or praying with an ulterior motive. The third thing you do is look to God. Perhaps God has delayed the answer to your prayer because he wants to wait, because the answer could be better, or the answer would be better if he answered differently. I know from my own experience, and if you serve God any length of time, you know it yourself, that when God doesn't answer your prayer the way you want him to, it's only because either you think you need something and God knows you don't need it, or he has something better in store. And I've seen both things happen in my own life. So you look to God, and waiting on God will teach you patience. It will teach you how to be patient. And sometimes when you're waiting on God, you're being patient anyway. So you might as well go ahead and learn the lesson. You're waiting. You're in this limbo mode. But waiting will teach patience. And sometimes, even while you're waiting, it'll teach you how to pray more fervently. God will teach you what the Bible teaches is effectual, fervent prayer. I want to take a minute to look at the awesome power of effectual, fervent prayer. And I want to talk about it in two areas. Now, if you're taking notes, this would be a good place to start. We all know the scripture that says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'd like for us to look at the awesome prayer that's effectual and fervent. And there's two parts to it. I want to clarify with everybody here tonight, in my very strong opinion, and I believe I have Bible to back it up, as I preached to you Sunday, the power of the harp. God's not hard of hearing. And sometimes praying loud will help you as the prayer. It gives you feel more passion, you feel more faith and what have you. I'm not opposed to that. But I'm not sure that because God hears you louder means that he's going to respond better or quicker. I've been in situations where I didn't have an opportunity to pray loud, but God answered the prayer just the same. I want everybody to understand that just because bombs and fireworks aren't going off, and for our young people, and every service is not youth camp, and people running the aisles and all of that going on does not mean that God is not moving. I want everybody to understand that. I've had God move on me when nobody was around. I've prayed with people when it's just been me and them. I cast the devil out of a man. It was just me and him at his house. It don't always have to be loud. And fervent doesn't always mean loud. It means very passionate and determined. But I can be very passionate and determined talking to you very quietly. Have any parents been in a public setting and your kids have been acting a complete fool? And you get in their ear, it ain't loud, but it's fervent. You listen to me, little boy. I've heard these words. You listen to me, little boy. When I get you home, I'm going to beat you with my belt. Do you hear me? You sit down. And nobody else is hearing a word of this. Buddy, I'm feeling the impact of it. Can we get in a car wreck on the way home and just go to the hospital for a week and maybe they'll forget about it? One time I remember my daddy promising me the what for when I got home from youth service. I'm going to church trying to worship the Lord, 14 years old, 13, and get my mind on God, and I can't because I know what's waiting on me. And I was not driving, and I was riding with my sister sitting back there. And I begged her when church was over, let's go to Shoney's. Let's go somewhere. Give Daddy time to go to sleep and let him be asleep a long time. And she did. She was very merciful. And we went to Shoney's at Wooddale in Florida, where Jack in the Box is now. They should have left Shoney's there, in my opinion. Anyway, we stayed there and a few friends went. And I got home and we tiptoed in the house. My daddy was sleeping. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. So all of you have been down. So you've experienced those moments where you're very passionate, but you can't be loud. I want everybody to understand, I still feel this from Sunday. Loud doesn't mean more power when it comes to God. Elijah had the experience with the mountain and the earthquake and the fire. Y'all remember that? And what did God follow that up with? A still, small voice. All right. So effectual and fervent doesn't mean you have to scream. It comes from your heart. It's passion from on the inside, even when you're whispering. And I've seen it over and over and over. So there's awesome power in the effectual, fervent prayer in two ways. Number one, it is our authority in prayer. You have the authority to pray fervent, passionate, effectual prayer. When you are a born-again child of God, you have the authority, and I'm going to prove it here in a minute. I want you to notice, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, it tells us that God prepared a physical body for himself, which was Jesus. Y'all understand that? Born in a manger, went to the cross, died on the cross. That's body number one. That was prepared for him. Hebrews 10:5 says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And that was the body of Christ. But Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, tells us that he has another body. Y'all know he had two bodies? If y'all don't say yes, I'm going to scream very passionately and fervently. Ephesians 1:5, Paul said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at the right hand in heavenly places. Listen. Verse 21. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Hebrews 10:5 tells us God prepared a physical body for himself. Then in Ephesians, he prepared a second body for himself, and it's called the church. This body, the church, has to have the same authority the first body did, because the same spirit that was in the first body is in the church. Y'all believe that? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. So think about that. In order for us to be effective and involved in a persuasive manner in prayer, we must know our authority. You possess the same authority that Jesus did. Effectual, fervent prayers, people who pray effectual and fervent prayers, never beg God. They pray with boldness, assurance, and authority. The second body, the church, I believe, and the Bible teaches, has the same authority as the first body, Jesus. Why? Because Jesus gave it to us as his body. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus had this authority, and he has given us, the church, the same authority, and we must understand that if we have it, then we must take possession of it and learn how to use it. Hence comes the healthy prayer life. Amen. That's all the things we've been teaching. You're going to fight devils and everything. But bottom line, a healthy, deeply understood prayer life. You remember I said to y'all several Wednesday nights ago, I think I've said it twice. It's a sermon Billy Cole preached. It's on YouTube, When the Whole Earth Shall Know Him. If you haven't never seen it, go watch it. It takes about an hour to go through the whole thing. Something amazing happens at the very end. But he stood in the pulpit, and I told you folks this. The devil is scared of me, he said. The devil is afraid of me, he said. Now he said, that's not arrogance, it's knowledge. And if we know this, God didn't save beggars to plead and beg and whine and moan, and God never answered my prayer and all that. There's a posture that we take as the people of God. May I say, in all due respect to myself, I do my dead level best to live this way every single day. I am a child of God. I am a duly called man of God. And nothing is going to happen to me, only God allows it. I don't have to be afraid, and I don't have to beg and whine. I ask God, I believe God, I trust God. If God answers, fine. If he doesn't, I accept the will of God. But to get on the floor and whine and crawl around, and I don't want to disrespect anybody, but I saw a man in the prayer room one time would get down on his all fours like this, and he would just do a spreading of Kleenex, like 10 or 12 thicknesses of Kleenex, and he'd just, and all of his spit and snot and tears and everything would just pool and puddle on those Kleenexes, to the point you couldn't watch the man pray. I mean, you wanted to go help him, something like that. And His life was built around this sobbing, broken, lamenting. My life is never right. I can never be perfect, and I can never do this, and I can never do that. Prayer. And that's not effectual, fervent praying. There's a posture. There's an attitude that we present towards God that He honors and respects. And one of the things that I've mentioned in addition to that, we have to realize that we have authority. I believe it was Jeremiah. God spoke to him one time and said, "You tell me, you ask of me what you want me to do. Command ye me," he said. "I have done that." And it worked. It's a long story. I was going through a very difficult time. Sister Murphy and I both were when we were in Baker. And my brother, Tom, told me that. He said, you go tomorrow and pray. I've been going to the church for some 30, 40 days in a row by now. And he said, "You command God. You command Him." And I did. I said, "God, I command to see a manifestation of You." Now, when I asked that, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And I didn't know what was going to happen to me when it did. But when I saw that manifestation of God and realized what it was, I hit the floor. And I don't know of a thing that happened. I was like I was in a coma for like an hour. Just laying there, I was in there by myself in the church. And so I've learned that, "God, if I command You to do something, would You please leave me awake for a little while so I can see what's going on?" That would be kind of nice. But there's a source of authority in us. And if we could ever learn our posture and what it should be with God. Have you ever learned that with your parents? A whole lot of you getting things out of your parents, whether you're older tonight and your parents may be deceased, but when you were a kid, our students, have y'all ever learned that? That when you go to your parents, posture and attitude makes a difference whether you get what you want or not. Lainey, I can see you walking into your daddy and saying, "You listen to me, sport. I want you to take me to the mall and I want to go now, so let's get in the car." Try that and see how far it gets you. There's an approach. Y'all understand that? Brother Billy is retired, semi-retired police officer. He will tell you. You'll get one response out of him. You treat him one way as a police officer. But you treat him another way, you might get a different response. Y'all understand that? And I don't know why that's so hard for us to understand. And we pray the same way over and over and over for years and years and years, and prayers go unanswered, and we never can figure out why God don't answer our prayers. And this is what I'm trying to help people with tonight. And everybody says, "Well, it's the devil." Well, I've given you instructions about the devil. You have the power of Christ on the inside of you. And if your posture's right, your heart's right, you're obeying God, you're doing what you're supposed to do, when you pray, your prayers are heard. Now, it's up to the will of God when they're answered, how they're answered. We all understand that, but they're going to be answered one way or the other. And sometimes no is an answer. This is one area that I've learned the hard way, and I kind of know what I'm talking about here tonight. I've seen it work. I thought I was going to try to finish tonight, and I'm not going to make it. So the source of our authority is God Himself, okay? We are treated in the same manner as Jesus, for we are identified with Him. So listen, notice this. We know that Christ is in us, right? Amen? We know that Christ is in us. Christ in us is provision. Us in Christ is position. So if you have Jesus on the inside of you, you have divine provision. And as long as you're staying in Him, it gives you position. It's a great revelation. I pray we have not been blinded as to what could really happen if we begin to use our God-given authority in effectual, fervent prayer. I think I can finish this tonight. Just a couple of more things. Talk to you about our scope of authority. We have authority of access. And listen to Pastor tonight. We do not pray based on feelings. You have to pray based on facts. Feelings are fickle, and we all know that. Y'all remember that? Any of you old folks remember that old song? I think it was from the 70s. A guy goes, feelings. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Feelings. Nobody? No hands or nothing? Feelings will drive you insane if you let it. But you pray based on facts and not feelings. We come to God by the blood of Christ, no other way, which makes you worthy. Don't let anybody tell you you're not worthy. If you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, you are worthy to stand before God because He made you worthy. We do not come to God past based. We don't come to Him by past based feelings and experiences. You don't come to Him based on, well, I prayed before and you didn't answer, but here I am again. No, no, no. You come with fresh faith and you approach by your authority. We have authority. We have authority of access. Now we have authority to appropriate. That's proper and fitting. To appropriate is to be proper and fitting. We come through prayer claiming God's promises. This is God's appointed way to obtain a word from God or to get an answer. Here's my verse I was speaking a moment ago, and it's in Isaiah. Isaiah 45:11 said, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me, God said. It's a powerful verse, Isaiah 45:11. So in conclusion, we have the authority, we have authority to apply power. If you understand the story of the rod of God, when Aaron's rod budded, it's the rod of God. It's a manifestation, an example of authority that we have in prayer. It's Peter and John praying for the lame man in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I want you to notice, you all know the story. But when Peter prayed for the man, he didn't cry and he didn't beg and he certainly did not sound faithless. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That was his prayer. Most of us are afraid to pray like that because we doubt God will do anything. And that is the truth. That is the truth. We have that little bit of doubt, and it kills it. If we could get to a place where our prayer life is healthy, our relationship with God is healthy, I believe we could see miracles based on the Word of God, based on what I'm teaching right now. And then finally, before Jesus descended, or ascended into heaven, rather, he told his disciples. And I know we wallow around with it. We do. But I've seen enough miracles in my lifetime, and I've seen enough miracles in this church to vouch it is true. Jesus said, these signs shall follow me, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I still have it in my mind, the miracle of Billy and Michelle's daughter, Kakandas, their twins. I have it in my mind when Tucker Coley fell when he was just a little old squirt, could barely walk. And doctors were thinking that something bad had happened to his hip. They brought him to church. Brother Dave prayed for him right over there, set him down on the floor, and he ran all the way across the front of the building. I watched it with my own eyes and ran all the way back. We've seen miracles. Saw a blinded eye open when we were in Baker. Could go on and on. Lisa, God has done a marvelous miracle. And the beauty of hers is it's medically documented. She's just not giving you her opinion. She can tell you this is what the doctor said and said it was an act of God. So things happen, but there's an approach. There's a posture, an attitude. I want to see more happen at Grace Church, and I'm sure all of you do. And if we can work together, encourage one another to keep our faith strong, to keep our prayer lives intact. I believe we're going to see miracles. We're already seeing them. God doing marvelous things in people's lives. And some of them are of private nature, and we can't go public with it. It's a little disappointing to me. But God is doing some amazing things here at Grace Church, for which I'm very thankful. And I want us to have miracles and signs and wonders from heaven. Amen. And I believe we can, in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Stand with me tonight. God bless you for being here and for opening your heart to the Word of God. And I want to ask you to continue to pray for our students as school has started, and especially those that are doing the P7 Bible studies, that God would just pour out His Spirit. I'm desperate to see that, and we can pray about that and see God work and what have you, and that God continue to move in our church. So God bless you here tonight. Shake hands with one another. Be friendly with one another. You're dismissed, and Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you tonight.